An old Zen story goes like this. An old Chinese farmer had a mare that broke through the fence and ran away. When his neighbors learned of it, they came to the farmer and said, "Oh, what bad luck this is. You don't have a horse during planting season." The farmer listened and replied, "Bad luck, good luck, who knows?" A few days later, the mare returned with two stallions. When the neighbors learned of it, they visited the farmer. "You are now a rich man. What good fortune this is." The farmer listened and again replied, "Good fortune, bad fortune, who knows?" Later that day, the farmer's only son was thrown from one of the stallions and broke his leg. When the neighbors heard of it, they came to the farmer. "It is planting season, and now there is no one to help you," they said. "This is truly bad luck." The farmer listened, and once more he said, "Bad luck, good luck, who knows?" The very next day, the emperor's army rode into the town and conscripted the eldest son in every family. Only the farmer's son, with his broken leg, remained behind. Soon the neighbors arrived. Tearfully, they said, "Yours is the only son who was not taken from his family and sent to war. What good fortune that is." I share this story with you this morning in the context of our current political climate. We are 2 days from a presidential election that carries far more weight than any other in my lifetime, or at least it seems so. I know there is anxiety among many of us about the future of our nation and the world, depending upon who wins on Tuesday. I know that this anxiety is because this election season has been filled with hate and vitriol, and all that we, as religious liberals, as people of faith, as people who stand on the side of love, have been resisting for centuries. It is chilling to witness any politician who encourages and incites violence among their supporters against any who would challenge them or express a different opinion. It pains our hearts to hear messages of discord and division reverberating through our land. It is unsettling to know that the voices in our nation of intolerance, misogyny, and bigotry have been roused and amplified. There is a putrid stench of evil in the air, the stink of all that stands against love, compassion, charity, mercy, kindness, and even the secular civility upon which this nation was founded. It is terrifying to imagine giving anyone who is clearly ruled by their thin-skinned ego and who seems to have no connection to their own human heart and spiritual soul the codes for the most powerful nuclear arsenal in the world. Recently, I was at a workshop, and the leader, Chris Crass, said, "It feels as if the gates of Mordor have been opened, unleashing untold beasts and malevolent energies in a concerted effort to take over the world." Let's take a breath. Before I freak everybody out completely and we lose all hope, I want to go back to that Chinese parable. In the story, the farmer insists, in the face of what seems to his neighbors as an obvious and indisputable event of either good or bad fortune, he insists on not making that judgment. Why? What is that story meant to teach us? What it does not say, but I think is true, is that the farmer had emotional responses to each of these events. When his mare ran away, I bet he was disappointed. And I believe that a thrill must have run through him when the mare came back with two stallions. And I cannot imagine any father who would not feel pain and sorrow when his child fell and broke his leg. These are honest human emotional reactions. But what he did not do is decide that any of these events indicated overall good or bad luck. He did not assign them ultimate meaning. And so he did not allow himself to fall into anxious worry or depression or give in to euphoric delight over the turn of each of these events. He took a longer view. He stayed open to the possibility that there was more than he could see or understand from his singular, limited perspective. And so it must be with our current circumstances. Someone recently gave me a button that says, "Less judgment, more curiosity," which is what got me thinking about this topic. It's true that once we have allowed ourselves to nestle into that comfy armchair of judgment, put our feet up and cross our arms across our chest, we have closed ourselves off from the possibility of being changed. Judgment is a stop sign that we erect between ourselves and any new information. It effectively halts any possibility for a more encompassing perspective. Once we decide that the only way to understand what is happening is that the sky is falling, then of course panic is the only logical reaction. But as the tale of Chicken Little warns us, and the rise of totalitarian tyrants throughout history bears out, people make poor decisions when we are whipped into a frenzy. And as the Zen parable would teach us, allowing ourselves to be swept away by anxiety is simply a foolish waste of our energy. Curiosity is an openness to new ideas. It is a movement toward what we do not understand. It carries with it a sense of possibility and faith in an essential, loving goodness. It allows us to be fully present and therefore capable of seeing more possibilities. It takes a degree of hubris to judge, to think that you know all that can come of a particular situation, or what something is all about. Whereas curiosity comes from a place of humility and greater perspective. There's a line in the Course in Miracles that I've been grappling with for years that says, "You don't know what anything is for." One evening a couple of weeks ago, I was running very late for an evening meeting. I got caught in traffic, and I was fretting that I was not going to be here at the fellowship in enough time to open my office and greet the committee members as they arrived. I was frustrated. I was stressed out about being so late. When I pulled into the staff parking lot, our member, Candace Sage, was standing behind her car, visibly upset. And she gave me her permission to share this with you. I rolled down my window, and she explained that someone had parked so close to her driver's side door that she couldn't get in her car. She was leaving a program that she had come to earlier, because her knee was in so much searing pain that she couldn't concentrate. When she realized that she was not going to be able to get into her car, and that what it would mean is that she had to walk all the way back down to Founders Hall, find the owner of that car, and walk all the way back up, she was devastated and infuriated. The idea of having to walk was unbearable. So through tears, she said, "I'm so glad you are here. Maybe you can squeeze into my driver's seat and back my car out for me." I was more than happy to help her, and I realized that I had made it to church exactly at the right time. On the drive over, I had made the decision that being late was bad, and therefore, I was all tied in knots and angsty about it. But as it turned out, all of the obstacles that slowed me down allowed me to be of service to someone who I care about. This was just my latest reminder that it is not helpful to assign meaning. All my angst and fretting was needless. You don't know what anything is for. So going back to the election, I want to be clear that I'm not saying that we shouldn't call out evil when we see it. It's important to name it for what it is so that we can lessen its power. And I'll be talking more about evil next Sunday. But in times like these, it can be helpful to acknowledge that we cannot see, from our limited perspective, the ultimate meaning of anything. The truth is, no matter who wins the election, we have entered into a period of great division. Our country is fairly split between the two lead presidential candidates, which alone is troubling. The citizens of our country are at odds with one another about some very basic values. There are millions of our fellow Americans, some of our family members, neighbors, coworkers, for whom the slogan, "Make America Great Again," means something far different than the vision that I hold for a more loving, more inclusive, more tolerant society. Before we can move forward together, we need to recognize and come to terms with that fact. It's also true that we don't know what this current struggle may bring. I do know that personal change and growth are often preceded by a period of what can seem like unbearable distress and conflict. We consider disease to be a bad thing, especially when it claims somebody that we love. But it is also true that only through engaging with germs do we build immunity. I learned some time ago that trees grown in a biosphere dome, an artificially created ecosystem, cannot bear the weight of their own fruit. Once the apples begin to grow and ripen, the branches fall to the ground. It turns out that without the experience of wind, the branches do not become strong enough to hold the heavy fruit. It is the resistance to wind that strengthens the tree's branches. If you think of your own life and periods of growth that you've experienced, I imagine that they also came during or just after a period of struggle. Stress and agitation builds strength and calls us into clarity. Walking this path forward will be much easier if we can remain open and curious together. If we can acknowledge that we have limited vision and can't possibly know the larger picture. We can't know what anything is for. Let's not decide our situation is bad and get ourselves tied up in knots about it, because doing so, we may become lost to the opportunities that are also present. Instead, let us keep our eyes and our hearts open to watch for ways to amplify love. Mr. Rogers said, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" Let us take comfort and build our collective strength by looking together for those who are helping. Look at the millions of people supporting the Sioux tribe all around the world in their effort to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline. Look at the journalists around the world who risk their lives so that the truth will be told. Look to the people in our own congregation willing to spend their time and energy serving in public office. Friends, let us take courage for the work that lies ahead. Vote on the side of love on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, come here for a healing circle. Drop in any time between 6 and 8, and we'll be together. Bring your friends, bring a sweater, we'll be outside. But no matter what happens this week, let us commit to one another to stay open and curious rather than succumbing to our anxiety. Let us commit to one another to stand together as a force of love and light, even in the ugliest of situations. For this is how we will defeat the forces of evil. Love will always win, and we are a people of love. Now is the time to shine our light most brightly into the world. I love you. Amen.